I just want to enter into a little bit of worship before we get in the message. The enemy has fought the music a little bit this morning, and he's not going to win that battle because God's got a delivering word for somebody here today. And by delivering, I mean not just a feel-good chill bump. I mean a coming out of the pit you're in. I mean chains falling off and being different, leaving out of this place different than you walked in. That's what the hand of God does. And so I just want to pray over the message before we bring it forth today. Father, as we enter into this word that you have for the people today, that in your presence there is breakthrough. God, I pray the word resonates in such a deep way that it's planted so deep down that it overshadows every voice of the enemy. It shatters every lie of the devil. And that all they hear is you, God. And that a fresh breath from the throne is poured upon this place today. That God, we leave out of this place so different than we walked in. That as the glory cloud overshadows this sanctuary, that we leave set free. Set free. We may walk in here enslaved by the past or enslaved by the present or enslaved by what the enemy says we are or what we have done. But God, we proclaim victory in this place. That we walk out of here set free by the hand of a living God. That we don't stay the same, because when your glory shows up, when your presence enters in, everything changes. And I pray for this body today, Lord, that we know we've been with you. A God that has risen out of the tomb. A God that is very much alive and not dead. A God that rose the third day, ascended forevermore, and now lives inside of us. Let that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, that now lives in us, break through all the things we are carrying here today. That we leave here changed by your presence. And we give you thanks and we give you praise that you've heard this prayer. And that, Lord, there will be folks today that will walk out of here different than they walked in because of you, God, because of who you are, the great I am. Lord, the enemy has lied to us so many times, and discouragement and fear and oppression, temptation has tried to entrap us, but you are bigger and greater than all of those things. And your word is more powerful, for in one single breath and one single utter of your word, things shift, things take a different direction because you spoke it. The same word that spoke for the sun to shine all those years ago, it still shines. It's the same word that speaks to us to say it must flee, it must be gone, it must be delivered, it must be set free, and it shall be done. For your word has not changed. Your presence has not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we give you praise for that in the precious name of Jesus. The church said amen. Hallelujah. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Breakthrough. Let me stop. We'll talk about breakthrough today, how we need a breakthrough. And that breakthrough doesn't come by trying to do it our way. That breakthrough doesn't come by all of our schemes and all of our things we try to accomplish. The breakthrough comes from spending time in the presence of God. And I mean by spending time in the presence of God, I'm talking about just a quick little prayer, just a quick church service, that's all we do all week long. I'm talking about knowing that everywhere your foot trods, the presence of God goes with you. That every place you step, His Holy Spirit remains inside of you. And that at any moment, we can call upon the name of our Lord. He hears us and He responds to us if we will call upon His name. Now, there's many struggles that we have as Christians. There's many battles that we encounter. We can't dictate what life brings. Connie found that out a couple weeks ago. She walked into a home and found a terrible experience that she wasn't expecting. Life changed for her in a moment. A phone call can change your life in a moment. Things happen in a moment of our lives that can change everything. But the constancy of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy remains. And it's there to get us through the hard times and the difficult times and the dark seasons. It's there for us always. It doesn't leave. It stays steady. It stays constant. It stays strong. And God wants us to become dependent upon His presence. Dependent. You know, if we were addicted to the presence of God as much as we was other things in our lives, for some, it may be a Coca-Cola, Melanie. For some, it may be a cigarette. For some, it may be a drug. For some, it may be a Big Mac. For some, it may be television. For some, it may be social media and Facebook and Instagram and all that good stuff. For some of us, it may be selfie obsession. You know, we talked about that, all your selfies y'all take because you think you look so hot. All that stuff that we do, and we become addicted to it. We can't live without it. I mean, we can't live without it. Do you know what we really can't live without? The presence of God. That's what we really can't live without. Thank God that presence goes with us in our cars, on our jobs, in our homes, with our children when they are out there and we can't control them anymore. We say, presence of God, you take hold. Presence of God, you go before them. Presence of God, you be with them. I'm thankful that that presence of God is not only with me, but I'm able to release that presence of God into other lives. Do you hear me? We can release that presence of God into people that we love and say, God, help them. God, watch them. God, do what I can't do for them. And when we know that presence of God remains, it can break through the chains that bind us. We're going to talk about a man that got set free, and then we'll go into some other examples. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, this is a man that society gave up on. This is a man that society said he's too crazy, he's too demon-possessed, he's too lost, he's too out there. And they set him into this private place and got rid of him and got him out of town because nobody could tame him, nobody could handle him. So let's get to Scripture. Mark 5, verse 1. This is the story of Jesus. He's coming to meet this man, and I love how it's introduced here in the first part of the chapter. They came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. When we think of the word tomb, what do we think about? Death. Dead. God has called us out of the tomb as Christians because death was our sentence, but life became our justification. The judge said, you were destined to die, but now you're bound to live because of what I have done. God called us out of that death. And what I mean by death is that dark cycle that we have to be bound to what life just gives us. And no, we don't. We serve a God. We preach it. We sing it. We testify about it. But do we believe it? Do we walk in it? Do we say, yes, God, you are still the healer of all sickness and all disease. God, you are still the deliverer of every chain that binds me. And God, you're enough. You are enough. Because in a wave, in a word, in a moment, in a breath, God can change everything. And God can set us free. I believe that. But what's happened, we have let too much of the world attach itself to us. Too much negativity, too many naysayers, too much watered down religion, too much watered down doctrine, too much watered down, just we go through the motions and we know the right words to say and the right song to sing, but are we experiencing that presence? Are we really experiencing that presence? You know, with the world of texting now, it's been proven that many young people have lost communication skills of really talking because they text and everything. And they've lost the art of a conversation, a face-to-face verbal conversation. You know, and we've even gotten so lazy now, we abbreviate our text. For thank you, it's TY. For welcome, it's UW. I mean, we can't even do the words. And our young people have lost that connection. You know, we were at a restaurant Friday eating, me and Melly, and we saw this little young couple, little high school couple. They were at Sorrento's, and they were sitting beside us, and they were on a date. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I about text, OMG. OMG, sorry. See, what it messes you up when you don't when you start talking. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh, look at them. They're so cute. And they're actually on a date. And the guy's actually paying for a meal. And the guy's actually taking his woman out. So when they got up, I said, hey, y'all, come here. I said, y'all don't know me. And the guy said, no, no, no. I said, but I want to tell you something. I said, how old are y'all? He said, I'm 18. She said, I'm 17. I'm like, I just want to commend you for taking your girl out, spending money on her, and actually coming out on a date. Instead of chilling at the house and doing nothing. Because that's the new thing now. Everybody chills. If you're younger, you know, if you're 25 or younger, you know what that really means. Chill at the house. Yeah. So anyway, they said, oh, well, thank you. And the girl says, he does that a lot for me. I said, and I shook his hand. I says, thank you. I said, sir, you keep being the man you're being. Good job. It meant so much to me because how many of you, do y'all notice that? You don't see kids out anymore on dates. Me and Melly was, in our generation, everybody went out on dates. You don't see that now. And it really caught me there at a nice restaurant. He got his little debit card out, paid for the meal. I was like, oh, look at him. Ain't he adorable? because I just see these loser men that don't step up and be men. Amen. My God, what's happened to the testosterone of men? Take care of your women. I would die for my wife. I would fight for my wife. And if they were bigger than me, I'd just let them have my wife. But I would, really try. My whole point of saying that story was this, that the generation has so changed and so shifted. But the presence of God and His holiness and His power has not. And the same God that called me out of the tombs is the same voice that still cries in the wilderness today, calling each of us out of our darkness. We don't need a new Holy Ghost or a new movement of God. We just need God to move, period. Because the same God is still the same God now that was with Moses and Jacob and Isaac. He's not changed. We've changed. And we need to look in the mirror and say, God, forgive me that I have given up on believing you can deliver me. God, forgive me that I walked away from what I know has been instilled in me, that you're a God of miracles, you're a God of deliverance, you're a God of peace and joy for my life, you're a God of strength that rises me out of my ashes, puts me out of the miry clay, and puts me back on a solid rock. You're still that same God. And see, we've lost that because we've replaced the presence of God with the presence of entertainment and the presence of going through the motions. And the presence of just, you know, the church being the Savior instead of Jesus being the Savior. See, Jesus is still the Savior. He still touches hearts one-on-one. And we don't have to conjure down the Holy Spirit. It's already within us. I'm going to tell you something. The loudest we can hear God speak sometimes is when everybody's mouth is closed and nobody's talking. And we hear God the loudest because we're allowing His presence to come into our lives. So this man of the tombs met Jesus with an unclean spirit. Look what he said. We had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, and no, not with chains. This man was a possessed man. They had been often bound. He'd been often bound with fetters, chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He was out of control. The sooner we realize that we can't really change nobody, the better off we'll be. God, you can change them. So I give them to you. God, I give them to you. Because I've done my part. I've sown the seed. I've watered. But God, you have to give the increase. And so instead of me trying to change somebody, I got to trust that God can. And look what happens. Day and night, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He had been so possessed. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. My God. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. He is Lord. These demons knew who he was. These unclean devils knew who Jesus was. And they couldn't contain themselves. They could not resist the attracting king and who he was, because it drew them to him, because he is the Lamb of God. And it, against their own will, they were drawn into his presence and had to submit and surrender themselves because they knew who he was. If we knew who God was, and I love the word magnify. The Bible talks about magnify the Lord. I've talked about this before. Magnify means to enlarge. It means to make bigger. If you've ever been in a restaurant and you're over 40, you can't see a menu a lot of times, right? You're like going like this, and you got to get these big old, you got to magnify it because you can't see the little numbers. Magnify, it makes it bigger. Man, when we magnify God, you know why it's important we magnify God? Because then we can see him in the size he really is. God is not just a cross on a necklace. God is not just something we talk about. God is something we experience. God is so much bigger than all of our issues and all of our problems and all of our battles. And the more we magnify God, guess what? The bigger he becomes. And the bigger we see him. And the more clear of picture we see of who Christ is. Because God's not some weak and small God. He's over all things. He's bigger than all things. He's the one that slew the giant. He's the one that closed the mouth of the lion. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that provided the widow with the oil that never ran out. God did that. If we could see God as how big he is. But here's what happens. The enemy's a bully, and the enemy bluffs. The enemy says, I'm going to give you a black eye. Don't give me your milk money. And all of a sudden, we back down. Oh, the devil's so big and bad. But look at God. If we see God how he is, the devil will look like nothing. The devil will look like little tattoo. Remember little tattoo? Fancy Island. The bling, boss, the bling. All of a sudden, God's so big, and then the devil's tattoo. I was worried about that. Are you serious? But he looked so big last week because you weren't looking at God. Look at God and see how big he is. He cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure by God, I plead with you that you torment me not. Man, those enemies knew when the presence of God showed up. And you know what? So do your demons. They know when the presence of God shows up in your life. That's why we begin to worship God, praise God, lift God up, and we feel his presence usher into our bodies, into our lives. All of a sudden, the demons begin to bow the knee and begin to flee from our lives because they can't stand in the same presence of a holy God, and they leave. That's why it's important we pray and we rebuke and we bind the things in our home. We rebuke the spirits that come against us. We rebuke the darkness that tries to invade us. We come against that with the word of God, reminding the devil, you do not have authority in my life, in my home, in my mind, in my family. You don't have that authority. My authority is in God alone. And I rebuke you and I bind you in the name, and the one name above all names, the one name that has any power, the name of the risen King, the name of Jesus Christ, flee and leave my life alone. Amen. It's important we do those things to remind us who we are. I mean, we would do that for anybody else. A burglar breaks in your house, you go try to get them out of there. You didn't go invite them for a cup of coffee and, you know, take everything they got while you sit there and sip on coffee. You go tell them, get out of my house, or, you know, 347's going to be talking. You know? Yeah, you broke in the wrong house, buddy. I got two boys live here, and their name is Smith and Wesson. And you about to meet them. You go get them out of there. But when the devil invades our lives, we just let them come in, set up camp, drink a margarita, eat a coconut, lie on the beach, and just take over our lives. And we just let them. Instead of saying, you know what? No. I belong to the King. I'm a child of God. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. I am his and he is mine. I am a child. He is my father. And I will not allow you to dictate how my life goes. I have been created in the image of God. I am born again. I am his seed, redeemed, incorruptible child of the living God. And here's the good news. As a Christian, you don't even have to worry about your future judgment, for all judgments being canceled out on your behalf as a child of God. So the devil can't use that against you. He can't say, what if you don't make it? What do you mean? I've done made it. Hallelujah. I've done crossed the Jordan, and you can't do nothing about it ever in my life. Because I am what God says I am. Forgiven, redeemed, sin cast away as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again in the eyes of God. So don't let the enemy dictate your life. God loves you, he saved you, and there's all the hell in the world can't ever change that position in your life. God has deliverance. In his presence, things change. But we have to allow that presence to be a part of our lives. I mean, we have to experience that presence in our everyday life. Next verse. He said to him, Jesus said to him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, Jesus called that spirit out. And we're like, okay, I get that. But I'm not Jesus. No, you're not. Of course we're not Jesus. But the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. We've seen his disciples. Remember Peter and John as they walked by the crippled man? They never walked in his life. And their eyes fastened on that crippled man. He'd been there all those years begging for alms. And he says, "We got something for you." The man got excited. "Oh, what you got for me?" "Silver and gold I don't have. I'm not giving you no money because money don't fix your problem. What I have is something much greater than money. It's deliverance and it's healing. Rise up and walk." And that man stood up for the first time and walked under his own power because the presence of God broke through his sickness and healed him. So if Peter and John can do it, why can't Joe and Sharon do it? Amen. Why can't Anna do it? Why can't Tony do it? Why can't Chuck do it? Why can't Cord do it? Why can't Larry do it? Why can't nobody do it? If you're a child of God, that spirit lives in you. You speak forth and claim that word of God. And you don't let the devil make everything look so big that it looks impossible. When we start seeing God, how big he is, then nothing becomes impossible. Amen. And that's how we see it. So he said, "Come out." And he asked him, "What's his name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, a Roman legion was a packed with several, up to 6,000 soldiers were considered a legion in the Roman army. So just, you know, just a metaphoric here, but he was possessed with many, 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 many demons. And he answered them back, "My name is Legion." We can look around and realize that people are spiritually possessed is why they act the way they do. It's not their natural mind. It's not their natural way. People get so far out there. And you know what happens? We allow. Here's what happens. It's a slow boil. It really is. We allow this into our lives. And we don't deal with it. And it sticks. Then we allow something else into our lives that we really shouldn't. We don't get rid of it. And it sticks. And then we allow. And the more we allow, the darker our life becomes. The darker our journey is, and we get deeper and deeper into sin. Doesn't mean God can't set you free, but we get deeper and deeper into sin until we then are bound, even out of our own control, by the enemy. And that's why people do the things they do. But God, Jesus says, "Come out of him. My name's Legion, for we are many." Then he goes on to say, he besought him much. The demons did talk to Jesus that he would not send them away out of the country. But there was nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. It's a herd of pigs on the mountains. And all the devils besought him, saying, now this, church, this tells us something. There are devils. There are dark spirits that are roaming the earth. This is not sci-fi stuff or Twilight Zone stuff. There are demonic forces that are working against humanity and working against the people of God. The demonic forces are just as real as the angelic forces are in our lives. They're just as real. And there's a constant battle going on. And the only thing that can break through the demonic field is the power of God. The only thing. All of your good positive thinking ain't going to do it. It is the power of God. The presence of a living God that steps into your situation and declares it be set free. And when that presence of God touches that demonic world, it has to bow the knee and it has to surrender. So it has to. He said, "Send us the swine that we may enter into them." The demons are wanting to go to these pigs. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. Look at that, gave them leave. You know what that means? Gave them permission. They had to submit to the voice and authority of God. Amen. Jesus gave them permission. They couldn't do anything until Jesus spoke it. Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000, and they were choked or died in the sea. Can you imagine all of a sudden this herd of pigs going out of control down the mountain as these demons took over them? We are in a serious world dealing with serious attack. And we better know the presence of God in our own lives. And quit surrendering to the enemy. Quit waving the white flag. I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to go to church no more because I'm going through a problem. I'm not going to do this because I'm going through a problem. I'm going to shut myself in, not talk to anybody because I'm going through a problem. Doing this, doing that, doing that. Quit waving the white flag of surrenderance to the devil and saying, "Okay, you win." And get firm and get mad with a righteous anger again. Say, "You know what? No. Are you kidding me? I am not going to let you rule my life one more day. I'm not going to let you rule my thoughts one more day. I am not going to let you bring torment and lack of peace into my life one more day. I'm not going to allow these chains to keep on clanking every day of my life with nothing changing. You, God, are able to break my chains. You, God, are able to set me free. You, God, are able to overcome anything that stands before me, because you're that big and the enemy, according to you, is that small. So, God, I give my life to you. I'm not going to surrender no more. We've surrendered too much to the enemy. We've let him have too much rule, too much reign, too much authority in our lives, and just accept it as, well, that's life. That's not the life Jesus promised us. He promised us life and life more abundantly. Not very abundant to be chained. Not very abundant to be a slave to the past or a slave to the present or a slave to your sins. That's not a very abundant life at all. The abundant life knowing I've been set free. Hallelujah. I've been set free by the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ. They fled. They that fed the swine, they fled. And they told in the city, in the country, and they went to see what was done. They saw these pigs go down. They went and told everybody in town what was going on. Then they came to Jesus, and they that came to Jesus see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Now he was sitting and clothed in his right mind. Glory to God. He was clothed in his right mind, and the people saw it. That was the guy nobody could tame. Look at him now. That was the guy that was, off his rocker. Look at him now. That's the guy that was so possessed, but look at him now. That's what God is saying. You may be this, but look at you now. You were that, but look at you now. God can do a work and change in your life if you'll let him, to break those chains. It's not too late. Don't matter what the world says or what society says. No matter, what all comes in our society and culture that tries to shift us away from that, there is still one holy God. There is still one holy word. There is still one king and one Lord and one throne. There is still one head of all things, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And nothing's going to ever change that. He can't be dethroned. He can't be unkinged. He can't be unrisen. He is already all of those things forevermore. And I thank God for that. That's who I serve. Glory to God. So be encouraged. His presence can break through. But you got to want it. And I've been praying this year for the church that people are drawn to get deliverance, that they're drawn to be set free. I think we get so comfortable sometimes in our ways. Do we want to be set free? Do we want more of God? Do we really want that experience or that presence to really overshadow us? Or have we got so comfortable with what is that we're okay with that? I don't want to get so comfortable that I miss out on what God has for me next. Man, I want what God has for me next. That season 30 years ago was wonderful, is where I was supposed to have been. That season 10 years ago, wonderful, where I was supposed to have been. But man, I want the season now God has for me, so I can walk in that season he has for me right now. Because our seasons change and our life changes. And we need God to move in a different way today than we did 10 years ago or 20 years ago, because we're going through different things. And that same God will be our daily bread. That same God will be our daily deliverance. That same God will still meet our daily needs if we will let him do that. Is that the last verse? Yep. Sitting in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Ooh, what did this? Black magic, voodoo, hypnosis. This man was a lunatic, and now he's sitting in his right mind. What did this? The presence of God showed up. You know, the presence of God moves in all kinds of circumstances. You think about when Moses was at that Red Sea, and he was trapped between the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh coming after him. God's presence moved upon the waters. It was God's presence that parted those waters and made a way for them. Then as Daniel was throwing the lion's den, should have been destroyed, should have been immediately devoured and killed, something happened in that lion's den. The presence of God showed up, and it closed the mouths of those lions. Daniel didn't do that. The presence of God did that. Then the three Hebrew children at the fiery furnace, as he says, bow or die. We're not bowing. Well, you made your choice. And they opened that fiery door, and they throw them three faithful Hebrew children inside and close that door. And what happened? The old king looked in that little portal, that little window, and told his guard, said, how many men we throw in? Wasn't it three? Yeah, it was three. And that old king says, well, I see four. And it looks like the Son of Man. Hallelujah. The presence of God showed up in the middle of that fire to say, you know what? You can't destroy the seed I've raised up. I'm more powerful than your oven, your word, and your authority, because I'm the only true king with the only true word that truly is eternal. Hallelujah. And then the little widow woman, I think about her. She's about to die, fix the last meal for her and her sons, and the prophet came by. Elijah come by. Boy, we're talking about right timing. I mean, Elijah come by at the right time because he was sent by God. And she says, we ain't got much. We're on our last little oil of cruise. We're going to eat this, fix this, and die. He said, go borrow some vessels. And don't just get a few, but get as many as you can find. Now, see, this is a test of faith. This is truly a test of faith. It's a test of, do I really believe God? Am I too lazy? Am I going to really, you know, give all I got? He said, go get all that you can borrow and then bring them back here. And the woman went, got all these empty pots, brought back to her house and said, okay, take the little bit of oil you got left. The Bible doesn't say how much, but it's enough for pretty much just one meal. And said, go behind the doors, close them, take the little bit of oil you got in a bottle and start filling the empty pots. This, to me, this is one of the most, I just love this story in the Bible. Oh, it's just powerful. Think about it. She got the, think about, first of all, her natural mind. I mean, I want you to think about this. If I had a, you know, I got a bottle of oil right here, okay? And I got a, you know, so I got a shoebox. Now, we know that ain't going near fill that shoebox up. That little bit of oil from there, not, I have tons left over. But think about this. She took that oil, began to pour into her pot, and the box filled. And I can imagine she looked, and guess what she found? Probably the same level. That's what I always figured. Wow, it's the same level. Okay. Another pot. Poured it in. Wow. Still the same level. Another pot. Poured it in. And she kept filling the pots until she got to her last one. And when her last one was filled, the oil was gone. I think how many times we could have so much more if our faith was greater. It was a testament to her faith. Will she believe in God to give her, you know, she go out, I was get a couple of pots, that'd probably be enough. Or she says, no, I won't get all I can. She believed God for more than enough. She had so much oil, the Bible says, that she was able to live off that and pay her debt and live off of the rest of her life. Think about that. You know why? The presence of God showed up and took this amount of oil and stretched it out. Kind of the loaves and fishes, right? Jesus. I mean, what if I told y'all, okay, guys, I'm going to feed y'all lunch today. And we have, I have 10 yeast rolls from Golden Corral. And I've got 2 hamburger patties. And everybody's going to eat, and all the kids too. I mean, I know what y'all are thinking. I'll eat 5 of them rolls myself and both patties. I know. I got you. How's 10 rolls and 2 little hamburger patties going to feed everybody in this church? But think about this. As they passed out the fish, another fish popped in. Another fish popped in. Well, can you imagine as they handed out, okay, here's the last fish. Wasn't that? Okay, here's the last one. Kidding me. Here's the last one. They just kept on. I mean, they took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 plus women and children. Man, you talking about stretching the dog? You talking about extreme couponing? I'm just here to tell you. My God. You know why that happened? Because the presence of God broke through and met their need. And not only did they feed all them people, my God, they had leftovers. They had a $2.99 Golden Crowd take-home box. Hallelujah. They had more than enough. Because that's what God does. He's more than enough. If we could ever just tap into that line and realize, God, you're more than enough. All my worrying, all my stress, all my anxiety is not going to do a bit of good. So I lay it down and give it to you and say, God, you be what I can't be. And you do what I can't do. You go where I can't go and do the work you called to do. Because we just can't fix things. We can't change things. Then we go on and we read about the presence of God showing up in the womb of Mary. How the Bible says that she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. She was a virgin. She'd not been with a man. There was no way she could have a baby without being with a man. And she says, "Angel, what are you talking about? I know no man. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow your womb. The presence of God is going to touch that which is dead and bring something to life. Glory to God. That's what he does in our lives. He takes what's dead and brings it back to life. He resurrects that which is gone." And boy, that seed, of course, of Christ came forth, and then we know the rest of the story. We see the presence of God throughout the Bible, that when the presence of God showed up, everything changed. When Joseph was a convict in prison for 2 years, the presence of God showed up one day and called him out of that prison and made him a prince. That presence of God changes everything. There is breakthrough in his presence. So quit being bound. Quit going through daily routines of just same old, and say, you know what? Man, I serve a God that can do whatever he wants. I mean, I serve a God that can heal anything, deliver anything, set anything free, break any chain, any addiction, any yoke. God can do that. Why am I limiting God to what I can see whenever he sees all things? And that's what it is. We limit God to our vision. You know, our church sign says, Shirley put out there this month, says, God loves when our heart catches a vision of his. Is that what it says? Something like that? Think about that. God loves when our heart catches the vision of his. What is our vision? Is our vision limited to what God can do in our mortal mentality? Or do we really realize, God, yeah, you can do whatever. The fiery furnace fires up, you can still keep me out. The lions try to attack me, you can shut their mouths. I'm surrounded by all sides, by giants, storms, you can take care of it. There's a Goliath in front of me, you can slay it. You're bigger than all those things. Whatever it is. Remember in Numbers, Caleb, when he went out, they sent the 12 spies out, only two came back. And all of them were whining, oh, they're big people in that country. Moses, they're big, they're like giants. And here shows their vision. You know what he said? We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. Church, we are not grasshoppers. We are the redeemed church of the living God. We are more than conquerors through him which strengtheneth us. We are the head and we are not the tail because we have been bought by the blood. Amen. We are not grasshoppers in the sight of the devil or men or God. We are his beloved children. Their vision was all wrong. But two of them came back and says, oh, I don't see us that way. Moses, let's go right now. Let's kick some high knee right now. We got this. Let's roll. That's exactly their mentality. And they, of course, did conquer everything God said they would. Went through every nation, every country, and found their promised land just like God said. And here's the great thing. Moses, the messenger, died. But the message didn't. He raised up Joshua. And Joshua finished what Moses couldn't. Many messengers will die, but the message never dies. And that message goes on and on and on and on and on forever because it has been etched in eternity. And what God said he is and what he's going to do is what will always happen. And it can't be changed. I don't care how much liberal thinking tries to change the Word of God and Jesus Christ and the cross and all the stuff people are, you know, blah, 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 blah. Church, keep your eyes focused on the prize. Keep your stance fixed in him. And don't let anybody influence you away from the truth you know to be real. Do not be influenced by a cultural shift. For the wheat and the tares are growing together, as Jesus says, but they will be separated. And I thank God I'm a big old wheat waving in the field. And when God sees me, that one's mine. And that one's mine. Well, I about didn't see many, but yeah, she's mine. Those tares had her covered, but I saw her, you know, she's still mine. Pluck her out between the two tares. We're God's seed, and we are overcomers. And we can have breakthrough experiences in the presence of God. And church, I'm talking about when you're one-on-one. Get alone with God. It can be in your kitchen. It can be in your bedroom. It can be in your car. Get alone. I've heard people talk about it. They got excited, you know, hearing some music, praising the Lord, and going down the road. Keep one hand on the steering wheel, please.
Other hand, throw up in the air, that's fine. But keep one hand on the wheel as you're praising the Lord. Have your time with God. Have that. All it takes is that moment of experience that transforms you. That you come. So there have been times through the years, the church, I'm over here, and I'll be at the altar, and I'll be praying, and just not anything specific, just, you know, start praying, talking to God. And then all of a sudden, I'll start just crying, weeping, and didn't know why. I'm thankful none of y'all saw me. I mean, I just be crying. I'm like, why am I crying? And I realized that God was touching me, that I was experiencing His presence to break down some things in my life, to get some things off of me, to help me. There is nothing that can replace that presence of God. There's nothing. There's nothing more powerful than His presence. There's nothing that changes things more than His presence. And His presence is not found, church, in things. It's found in Him. Think about Daniel in that lion's den. He had no great orchestra with the drums beating, the keyboard jamming. He had no great choir singing, you know, how great He is. It was Daniel among man-eating beasts in a dark cave. And I can see Daniel laying there saying, God, I'm Your servant. And I've been incarcerated because I've served You. And Lord, I pray You protect me through the night and shut the mouths of these lions. And he come out without a hair on his head touched. That's the God I serve. And I know we're in an evil generation. So much stuff around us. So much darkness. So much evil. So much crime. So much hate all around us. But with God in us, nothing can touch His seed. I truly believe that. I believe God's got His hand upon us, even in our foolishness, even in our rebellion. God's got His hand on us, watching us. The gates of heaven are at our access, church, as God's people. The gates of heaven are at our access, but we tap into very little of that. We tap into just what we know or what we're familiar with. But God's got such a deeper place for us to go. And it's in that deep place there's breakthrough. I told you a story. We'll close here in just a minute. I told you a story when I was a little boy. My mom gave me swimming lessons as a child. But none of the swimming lessons mattered because I still had a fear of water. Swimming lessons didn't take the fear of water out of me. Mom took me for several years, and I swam. I used to have to jump in the deep end. And they always had to always help me to the side because I would panic. I could never break the fear of the water. We're at the beach. My last trip by my parents as a minor, I guess. I was 16 years old. We're at the beach together. And we was in this pool. And I see these little kids, like Tay and that age, you know, jumping off the diving board, the deep water. And here I am, you know, big old James, 16 years old. I'm standing in the water right here. And I'm looking around going, what am I? I mean, all them years I had, I know how to swim. Here's the deal. We know the motions. I want you to hear that. You know the motions, but you've not broken the chain. And so I was standing there looking around at these little kids, and I said, you know, gosh, I got these little kids, 6, 7 years old, 5 years old, on the diving board. Here I am, 16, standing in water right here. I know how to swim. So I told Dad, I'm just going to take off. I was going to swim across that water and not stop. Because I knew if I didn't stop, I was okay. I think about this. If you can swim in 3-foot water, it's the same motion. Just swim in 8-foot water. The only difference is, don't stop. So I'm sitting there, and I thought, okay, I'm going to take off. And I took off, and of course, Dad's watched me. You know, great father, right? Don't try to stop me. Oh, no, son, you may drown. Go for it. So I'm sitting there. So I start swimming. And I remember, I could tell when the water got deeper. I had my eyes open. I knew. I was like, oh, man, I'm in the deep water. Oh, and I swam, and I got the edge, and I looked back. I'm like, I did it. From that point on, I was in deep water. It took breaking the chain of fear. I knew the motions. I'd had the lessons. I'd heard the word. I'd paid my dues. Do you hear me? But I hadn't broken the chain. You can only go so far chained. But when the chain's off, you are free to go wherever God wants to take you. Hallelujah. And those windows of heaven are waiting to be poured upon our lives. There's a gold chest of treasure for us to tap into that many of us never do because our faith, our sight, Our walk is limited by what we see and what we hear instead of by who we know. Glory to God. So it's time for us to go deeper. Time for us to go deeper. I'm going to play a song here in a minute. And I'm going to have us just stand together during this song. Just a little chorus that repeats itself over and over. Talking about let it rain. Open the windows of heaven, Lord, let it rain. And I want us to just experience that in closing. And I want it to be our prayer. God, let it rain upon my life. Open the windows of heaven that I'm able to walk in those things you have for me. I've been limited of walking in those because of my faith or because of the devil's lies. But no more. I want to break through today and experience you. Experience all you have for me. That song's on there, right? Okay, y'all stand with me if you would. Let's just, the words will be up here. Turn up a little bit.
Let it rain.
Y'all can sing it or just praise God, but just experience the, expect to go deeper than what you are right now.
Let it rain.
God, we want to go deeper than the motions. We want to break the chain. We've heard the word, but we're not walking in the word, God. We won't break through, Jesus. Let it rain in this place, Father. Pour all of yourself upon all of us right now. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Let every chain be broken in this place. Let us press through to a breakthrough moment as your presence, God, fills this sanctuary. You and you alone are our deliverer. You alone are our healer, God. Transform our thoughts, heal our bodies, direct our steps. Lord, pour your joy, your peace upon your people today. Strengthen the weak, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name. You want to come to the altar? That's always open, church. If you come to the altar, it's open to come pray, talk to God, whatever you want to do. Let it rain, Lord. Open up the treasures and pour upon us all you have. Glory. Let it rain, Lord. We want to receive all you have for us. Don't want to miss out on anything you've got for us, God. Oh, let our eyes see you as who you are, not as what the world says you are. You are Abba Father. Lord, you're the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. You are Messiah. Thank you, Jesus. You are Lord of everything and all things. You're in all things, above all things. All things are created by you. Pour upon us, God, your anointing today in Jesus' name. Jesus. Let's just worship him, church. Lift your hands to him and just surrender. Let him speak to you right now in this sanctuary. Father, speak to hearts today. Break chains. Take us deeper, Lord, out of the emotions into deliverance. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is none like you, Lord. You are high lifted up in this place. And though darkness tries to invade us, the light of your word, the light of your mercy, the light of your spirit will overcome. what the will of the devil is against our lives, your hand is for our lives, and it will deliver us. And all the schemes the enemy has put against you shall not prosper, for no plague will come nigh your dwelling. For the Lord your God is in this place, and by this place I mean inside of you. The Lord is in this place, and where the Lord is at, the enemy cannot tread, the enemy cannot touch, the enemy cannot overcome. For I live in you, and I am with you, and I am for you, and nothing can prosper that tries to come against you. In the name of Jesus, take God at his word and know who he is. He is for you, church. He is not against you. It is the devil that's a liar. It's the devil that's a cheat. It's the devil that's a hypocrite. It's the devil that tries to bring all these things against you. The Lord is for you. The Lord is going to bless you. And there are deeper waters yet to tread in, that when the chain of fear is broken, God's going to position you and propel you into a forward place that you've never been. And you'll look back and say, how could I have escaped that all this time? And God says, because I've now broken the chain. And you're no longer bound to the side of the pool, but you now are free to go all over and all around into those places you couldn't before. For I set you free by my power and by my hand, and no other name shall get the glory but me. My name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We should leave this place different than we came in. And for our young generation, we think they need all this hype to get them to God. No, they don't. They just need the voice of God to speak into their lives like it did mine. That's all that it takes. We don't have to have a different God to reach a different generation. The same God that called me, that called Melanie, that called my children, will call your seed too. It's the same voice that will say, I'm calling you out from the tomb. I am your God. Do you hear me and will you receive me? He's still the same voice. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated. Margie, come up here if you don't mind, if you got something to play for our offering at the end here. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for sharing your time on Sunday morning with us. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. And I believe that we have heard from him today in a special way. And man, I love when that happens. Let me talk to you just a minute before the ushers come. I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on with our building project. Spoke with the banker last week. The appraisal of the church came back. All that's in and done. The only thing left is for him to finalize the loan. He said we're looking at a 2 to 3 week window for that to be finalized. So hopefully by the end of the month, February, we should be in a position to hopefully begin to break ground on our new place for Fellowship Hall. We're very excited about that. We need that space. As you know, we were not here last Sunday morning. So we lost a week worth of finance for the church. We also wasn't here the Wednesday before because it snowed. So we've lost two services in this month. So I want to ask the church to dig down. Kind of a joke. Here's the good news and bad news. We've lost two services right of finance. That's the bad news. Boo. Here's the good news. Y'all ready? No, I'm going to say, don't you? Y'all got it. It's just a matter of giving it. So I want to ask. We've lost two services this month, which is huge for any church, whatever size it is. I want to ask you to dig down this morning and say, you know what, I'm going to honor God and going to help the church because the finances for the month are the same. They continue whether we're here or not. We have the same expenses that keep going on month after month. So just keep that in mind. If you would have been here last week and didn't give, I told Melanie what I want to do is give two offerings. Have one offering for last week, then one offering this week. But I'm just playing. I won't do that. But if you would have been here last week and wasn't, we ask, you know what, that's still God's too. Still God's money. We don't. When Leigh does my taxes, she said, wow, it's so good to see a minister that actually tithes. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'll do a lot of preacher taxes. They don't give anything to their church, which is really sad, I thought. But didn't realize that. But you have a pastor that does what he preaches. I give 10% of all my first fruits. I always have. And I give extra sometimes. And it's not that I feel like I have to. It's that I want to. God has blessed me so much. I mean, look at my wife and my family and just look at me. I look in the mirror and say, man, you're a nice looking guy. I mean, he has blessed me. Have y'all looked at me lately? He has blessed me. So just keep that in mind. Because the church doors are shut doesn't mean that the finance doesn't still belong to the Lord and that tithe. So ushers, come on up and just be generous today.
so we can try to have a decent January financially, because it's hurt missing two services.
In the presence of Jehovah God Almighty, Prince of Peace.
Father, we ask your hand upon this offering, that every seed that is sown is blessed by you. That, as Melanie said, we are filling your vessel, God. We're filling the vessel of your kingdom. And this church does need the finance to continue to do what it's doing, to continue to grow, Lord. Speak to heart to be a part of this feeling today, that they will put part of their oil in this pot today, trusting you that you will bring it back into their lives to meet all their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.